From Deutsche Welle, this is Melody Time. We invite you to join us for half an hour of light classical music. Welcome once again to Melody Time. I'm Paul Benderow. The first piece of music in today's program is by the composer Anton Seifert. Seifert was a military Kapellmeister and stayed with the same regiment for 27 years. In fact, he was so well known in his garrison town of Komorn in Austria, he himself became something of a musical institution. He gave concerts, provided dance music, taught and composed. And, as befitted a military man, the compositions were primarily marches. Seifert would almost certainly be forgotten by now, though, if it were not for one particular piece, called the Kärntner Liedermarsch. In an arrangement by Rolf Granderath, the internationally popular Kärntner Liedermarsch by Anton Seifert. It was performed there by the Cologne Radio Orchestra under the direction of Heinz Geser. Coming up next, a dramatic and world-famous aria by Giacomo Puccini. The aria is from Puccini's opera Tosca, and the scene is the heartbreaking last farewell of Cavaradossi, who's been sentenced to death. In the recording we're going to hear now, the Slovakian tenor Peter Dvorsky sings the part of Cavaradossi, a role known to be one of his favourites. As a small boy, Dvorsky was taken to see Tchaikovsky's tragic opera Eugene Onegin and was instantly smitten by the opera bug. Then and there, he decided to be a singer when he grew up and that he would sing the role of Lenski in Eugene Onegin. Of course, there was no knowing what would happen after the theatre-mad boy's voice broke, but luck was with him and everything went according to plan. Dvorsky's first major role was indeed that of Lenski in Eugene Onegin, and his repertoire has since grown to encompass all the great lyrical pieces for tenor voice, including this one. Peter Dvorsky in the role of Cavaradossi from Puccini's opera Tosca. The orchestra of the Budapest State Opera was conducted by András Mihály. Fritz Kreisler, one of the greatest violinists of this century, was also a master arranger. In the history of music, the arranger has, of course, played a significant role, with many a composition becoming famous in an arrangement which had little to do with the original. In his long concert-giving career, Kreisler was constantly in need of new pieces to play as an encore, and in order to meet this need, he simply wrote them himself. He didn't want to see his own name splashed all over the program, however, and for his own amusement, he claimed the pieces were the work of long-forgotten Baroque composers. But even when genuinely playing an arrangement of someone else's music, Kreisler made it his own. He died in New York in 1962, and for those who follow in his footsteps, he left a wealth of bravura pieces, all demanding a brilliant display of virtuosity a la Kreisler. Als die alte Mutter mich noch lehrte singen, Songs My Mother Taught Me, number 4 of Antonín Dvořák's Gypsy Songs. Demonstrating his own virtuosity and rising beautifully to the Kreisler challenge, we heard Itzhak Perlman, accompanied by the pianist Samuel Sanders. The creation of new musical arrangements used to constitute an important part of a musician's daily work. In order to hold one's own with the competition, a musician worth his salt had to keep up with what was being played on the stage and in the concert hall and present the new melodies in his or her own arrangement as quickly as possible. The brothers Johann and Josef Strauss had a lot of success in this. For example, with Italian opera melodies arranged as dance music. This didn't always go down well with the more serious music lovers, but that didn't dampen their enthusiasm. or that of the dancers.
Thank you.
potpourri arranged by Johann Strauss of melodies by a number of composers from Verdi to Bellini. The new Melodies Quadrille was performed there by the Czechoslovak State Philharmonic Orchestra under the direction of Alfred Walter. Arrangement, version, copy, plagiarism. Sometimes it's hard to know exactly what you're dealing with. Joseph Haydn's String Quartet Opus 3-5 is a case in point. The quartet's second movement is world famous as the Haydn Serenade. But did Haydn really write it himself? Until around the end of the 18th century, transcribing was the usual way of making compositions known to a wider public, and good, trustworthy transcribers were always in demand. Haydn, and Mozart as it happened, used the services of the highly competent and trustworthy Romanus Hofstetter. Some transcribers were accused of stealing compositions, but Hofstetter apparently passed scores on to Haydn, which he himself had written, and allowed them to be performed under Haydn's name. The Serenade Quartet could, according to the experts, be just such a piece. The only thing we can be absolutely certain about, though, is that it's one of the most popular pieces of classical chamber music ever written. Thank you. the serenade from the string quartet in F major, attributed with some uncertainty to Haydn, and performed there by the Bern Camerata. The last piece of music in today's programme has no such doubts surrounding its origins. It was written by Joseph Strauss, the poet among the three Strauss brothers, and past master of the polka mazurka. And one of the best he ever wrote dates from the first year of his exceptionally happy marriage to Carolina. Budapest Strauss Ensemble, conducted by István Bogár, with a delightful polka mazurka entitled Flora by Josef Strauss. And there we must leave you. Thank you for joining us, and be sure to tune in again next time for another edition of Melody Time. The program is compiled by Barbara Anders and produced by Stephanie Giesen. Our studio engineer is Jan Eisenberg, and I'm Paul Wendelow. Melody Time is a production of Radio Deutsche Welle, Cologne.